You're listening to Potential Cast, Season 4, Episode 3, The Harsh Light of Day. As Buffy begins a new relationship, Spike returns to Sunnydale in search of a fabled ring which allows vampires to walk unharmed in the light of day. My name is Stephanie.
I'm Kimberly.
This is Gabby.
I'm Illyrio.
I'm John.
Well, hello, John.
Hey, potential cast, what are you wearing?
Spandex.
Who invited Batman?
You sound like the crazy guy in Plants vs. Zombies.
So
welcome, John. It's been a while.
Oh, I'm so excited to be back. And I want to start things off by thanking the listeners for being so nice and generous and kind, sending me good vibes after my last appearance on the podcast. Everybody was really nice about it.
That's not, yeah, you know, we've got a good community.
I can't tell if John's being sarcastic.
No, I'm being serious.
Okay,
and sincere,
good.
Damn it.
Sorry. You
know. No, we've got a very supportive community.
Yes.
Everybody was really sweet and appreciative, and I thank you.
Awesome. Well, everyone was nice except that horrible person, but we won't go there.
Oh, I took care of them.
Good. Good.
Don't worry.
It was Antonio Banderas, wasn't it?
I'm not saying a word.
So, what do we think?
Yay!
Spike was awesome. Spike was better than... Spike in this episode, I think, for me, was better than all the other episodes he's been in so far combined.
Yeah.
And I think it has to do with the fact that he's finally filled out. He was so scrawny and wimpy, and I just didn't get the whole attraction thing. And now it's like, oh, yeah, I get it. Totally. Much more, you know... Just a better presence.
He filled out a little and it made you feel better.
Yeah, because I didn't get the whole Spike is awesome, Spike is awesome. And he just really looked like a scrawny little geek. You know, with these pencil thin arms before. You know?
Maybe his British accent is getting better too.
Nah, I don't listen to what he says. I just look at him.
I'm sure James Marsters appreciates that.
Well, he's a guy from Torchwood, I think, would. Spike was awesome in this episode, and I have to say, Harmony was fantastic.
Yeah, that's right. I was surprised. I was like, I love Spike and Harmony. Yeah, they're so much better than Spike and Drew. And everybody on Twitter was like, what? Drew is so good. I can't believe it. And I was like, wow, I can't believe that I didn't realize how great Spike and Drew was. And then I saw, I'm a bigger fan of Harmony than Drusilla.
Really?
Well, I think what it is, I like both for different reasons, but I think what it is that Drusilla sort of, she, like, you don't really see her do or say much unless she is reacting to Spike. Whereas Harmony, like, she has her own thing going on. Like, she's, like, Mercedes McNabb, there is, like, a scene where they're, like, you know, in that sort of, you know, cave area going through all that jewelry. And Mercedes McNabb is in the background just trying on things, and she puts a tiara on her head. Mm-hmm. She's just so happy, you know, she's off in her own little world.
she's so cute. I loved her. And when she called him Blondie Bear, I laughed out loud.
I hope it's no one's quote. I hope I'm not stealing it. But for me, when she said Dorcas, oh, it was awesome. It was so funny. And I just want to report For those of you paying attention, Gabby has excellent douche-dar.
That's my very first note, incidentally, that I was right. I was right!
Like
that guy. Yeah,
you're not wrong.
I was right. Exclamation, exclamation, exclamation point.
It's weird because I remember when I first watched it, you know, like I didn't really pick up on it. And then, like, now in subsequent viewings, I was like, how did I not see this? How did Buffy not see this? What's going on? Like, the guy's clearly a walking douchebag.
Yeah, he's putting on that Mr. Sensitivity fake.
When my father passed away. But I don't look at me as though I'm asking for sympathy. I think we have some feedback. Do you guys want to get into it?
Sure.
Yeah. All right, let's dive right in like Scrooge McDuck in a giant pile of coins.
Which doesn't actually work.
No, it doesn't.
You would break every bone in your body.
Pretty much. Well, at least just go.
Awesome.
I'm going to read the one from Rachel Hughes. Or maybe it's Rachel Huggies. Hi, Gax and John. Spike is back and hey, yeah, who told you John was going to be our guest?
It might have been me. I've been looking forward to this for months.
All right, looks like you're all listening to John's final appearance on Potential. Spike is back and sexily crawling across a bed shirtless. I like that his search for the gem of Amara that brings him back to Sunnydale so that he can finally kill that pesky slayer is merely incidental to this episode. Instead, the focus is on three women and their realistic confusion about expectations, emotions, communication, and relationships, and how sex plays into all of that.
Terrible.
Second, Anya's back! And what a lovely back it is. That was me editorializing. And even more literal, blunt and confused about suddenly being human as she was in season 3, Anya's business-like seduction in the juice box scene is iconic, but I give Xander a pass for unintentionally hurting her feelings. After all, like Buffy, his only prior sexual encounter was eerily parallel to Faith's abrupt dismissal after using him to satisfy her needs. And poor Xander did try to dissuade Anya, and his later brush-off was really just a miscommunication. Unfortunately, Xander doesn't understand women, and Anya doesn't understand humans. Third, Harmony's back! Which surprised you the most, that Harmony is a vampire, or that she and Spike are together? Or that vampire Harmony is not much different from human Harmony, or that she's somehow more likable? Despite being completely inappropriate for each other, they use sex because they both want a lover. I felt so sorry for her when she mistook Spike's tolerance as love, only to be heartbroken when he unsuccessfully staked her. And finally, poor Buffy. I know that many complain about her whining about wanting to be just a normal girl, but when our heroic slayer actually experiences the pain, heartbreak, and resulting self-flagellation that normal girls experience in normal situations, my heart breaks for her. Parker Abrams is the douchiest of douchebags in Douchedonia, and it's all the more painful to see the metaphor in Innocence played out in real life. From Buffy waking up alone in identical red bedsheets to Parker paraphrasing Angelus's cruel brush-off with, "What did you expect?" to Buffy paraphrasing her, "Was I not good?" by asking Parker, "Did I do something wrong?" And just as she did with Angelus, she blames herself, and then apologizes to him. And thus, season 4 continues to whittle away at Buffy's self-esteem. Writers, when are you going to give this girl a break? As for Spike, he's not stupid. In fact, he is amazingly perceptive, but his short-sightedness and impulsiveness are usually his undoing. He had Buffy broken and was this close to killing her until he went too far with his taunting and could not resist bringing up the Angelus debacle. Clearly, Buffy has not resolved her angel issues, and thus Spike's triumphant retrieval of the Ring of Invulnerability lasts all of 5 minutes. Oh, Spike, you and your carefully laid out plans. And I can't believe that no one, especially not Giles, points out that giving the Gem of Amara to Angel, who at any given time could turn into Angelus, is a supremely bad idea. I suppose it's because they know that it's going to lead to an awesome crossover episode. Thanks and bye, Rachel. P.S. This postscript is not really for the podcast. Just a... Oh, okay. I will not read that on the podcast. And I don't edit anymore, so we're doing this live.
Okay.
So I won't read it now. We can all read it later.
All right.
Okay.
Val P. sent us something. Who wants to read that? Don't all volunteer at once.
Let's see. Hold on. All right. Here we go. Hey, Gax, and lucky special guest for Harsh Light of Day. Just some thoughts and questions. First, just because it never can be said enough, Spike! Oh, please, please don't leave us again. None of your one episode and gone nonsense, because that is just cruel. And because I'm shallow, Spike shirtless, slow crawl on the bed scene has always been one of my favorite parts of the episode. Holy hotness.
What have I gotten myself into?
So, yeah.
Who made a puky noise?
It was me.
It was
really?
So, Gax, what was more jarring, seeing Harmony as Spike's girlfriend or seeing Devin wearing a belly shirt? That was
what I want. I will now. I will call Devin half shirt for the rest of the show. Oh, half shirt.
I go with the shirt. What the hell was that? Horrific. And speaking of horrific, what about Willow's coat? Sorry, but that was fugly. With the flower print and then that thick white fuzzy material on the outside. Oh, my eyes. Unfortunately, fashion spoiler, that's not the last we'll be seeing of it.
No. No.
Yes.
I think we'll all be curious of what you thought of Harmony and Spike together. They're quite funny. They are quite the funny odd couple. Harm was whiny and a blabbermouth, so I don't blame Blondie Bear for getting furious with her. By the way, I never liked the Blondie Bear name Harmony gave him. Someone will refer to Spike with a much better name, which I cannot say yet. Parker equals douche. Ugh. Him and his cringeworthy recycled lines. He deserves some nut kicking. Many of us have had a Parker. Oh, wait, sorry. Let me rephrase that. I hope not many of us have had a Parker in our lives, but they're definitely out there. Have any of you, Gabby, Kim, Steph, and you too, Illyrio? I would want to discount you. No comment.
Nobody wants to ask me?
No, nobody wants to ask you. No, I'm interested. Let's stop reading this. I want to know. I'll go first. No.
Okay. I feel like I have a very good sense of character. You know what I mean? I can judge. I'm a very good judge of character. So I don't think that I've been married since I was a child. So
I've never had a partner. Illegal. I think you should stop saying that.
I was 22. I now look back and consider myself a child when I got married. I didn't think I was then, but I do now.
Wow. I have been a serial monogamist since I was 15 years old, pretty much. So, no.
Yeah, actually, I'm the same way. Like, if I'm in a relationship, like, it'll go on for years. I hate one-night stands. I hate them.
I bet Kim's gonna have a good story for us.
Yeah, it started with no and ended with comment.
That's right. No.
Let's move on.
What about Debbie?
She's taking a nap because the time change is screwing her up.
It's an hour. Debbie. Debbie, it's an hour. It's not like you just landed in Shanghai or Sydney. It's an hour. Come on.
Okay, fine. She's drunk. She's wasted and she's passed out.
She's been drinking all day, hasn't she?
She has been drinking all day. Oh my God, she's a mess.
Do you have a Parker story if you are Parker?
No comment.
Kim is a Parker.
Oh, Parker.
Anyways, I feel really bad for Buffy, but didn't like seeing that sort of neediness for him. I don't know if that's the correct word to use. Come on, Buffy, you really want to try to still work it out with that shit Parker. I know he's 18, blah, 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 but I didn't like hearing that from her. Yeah.
Pathetic. It was pathetic.
Nice continuity with Buffy's neck bite scar from Angel, with a Faith reference from Xander. I know Gak was thrilled by that. I know you guys enjoyed Anya last season, so were you pleasantly surprised to see her in her blunt, unfiltered conversations back again? Anya is always great comic relief. I especially liked her brief scene with Giles. I just don't like her with dark hair. The blonde looks much better. I wish you guys hadn't been spoiled in the credits for Emma Caulfield, yeah? Mm-hmm. For Emma Caulfield and James Marsters. That would have been a nice surprise for you guys. Did you guess that it was going to be Spike right away when Harmony said she had a boyfriend? Did you think Harmony was dead after graduation part two and never gave it a second thought? Or did you think it was possible she'd be a vamp because you really didn't see her die, just get bit? Can't wait for you guys to work your way through season four because there's some stellar stuff ahead and the occasional not so stellar. But even those will be great to hear you talk about because I know you'll make their crappiness a fun listen anyway. Happy podcasting, Val.
Thank you, Val.
Yeah, I was spoiled by the opening credits, and I was like,
I was supposed to watch it like when I used to watch Lost, which is with my hand covering the bottom third of the screen.
I have to do that now.
Oh, well, I spoiled myself by watching the shows out of order. So I knew he was probably going to be in this episode. Oh, still here.
We have to stop protecting Robin. I think I'm going to read Shelley's email.
Do it.
Hi, Gaxterinos and Gesterino. I've been out of town a lot, so I hope you haven't recorded this yet. Love, love, love this episode. First and foremost, Spike, 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 Spike. I know that at least one potential gal was a happy, happy, happy. And Anya is back and Harmony is back. Jane Espenson, yay. Her writing is phenomenal. She really gets this show. Lots of callbacks and continuity, and SMG's acting is spot on. And lots of sex for all. I could go on and on, but I'll just say I love everything about this episode, and the ending scene is amazing. Keep up the good works. Love you guys, Shelley. And sorry, this is the biggest font I can get. Nice callback, Shelley.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, speaking of Jane Espenson, I've been listening to this podcast lately. It's the Nerdist Writers Panel podcast.
Yes.
It's so good. And like every show, there is one of the mutant enemy writers, just about every show. And it's just so funny how Joss's writing team, they like think so highly. Everybody thinks so highly of them. They're like, it's amazing all these shows that come from these mutant enemy writers and then now from the Lost writers. And, you know, these are just put up as the best written shows lately. Uh-huh. And Jane Espenson, they like everybody has such high regard for her and because she's worked on so many different kinds of shows and she's so, you know, she's just so well respected in television. But it's a great podcast.
Cool. Did they talk about how Russell T. Davies messed her up?
No, because it was before Torchwood aired, okay. So they didn't really talk much about that.
Because boy, oh boy. Hopefully this is her stinker, and she will not have that happen to her again. But man, Russell can really mess things up.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry if you're a listener, Russell, but you really shit the bed on that one.
Yeah, I think that everybody chalked that up to they were contracted workers. You know, they were not staff writers.
Yeah, yeah.
They were just said, here, you write this episode, you write that episode. And I don't think anybody talked.
No, it was all exposition. All the time. We got to remind everybody that nobody dies anymore. Every single turn. Yeah. One more email?
Sure.
And we'll move on. Someone pick one.
I'll pick Bob's.
Bob's.
All right, this one's from Bob. Hi, Gax and guests. First off, congrats to Gabby for realizing that Popper was a douche before this episode.
Yay,
Gabby. I'm sure that everyone will be talking about Spike's return, which I also love. So all I will say about that is... I'm putting too many that's in there, I think. Spike resumes his role, as in Lover's Walk, of telling Buffy truths that she doesn't want to hear, which I think he'll like. Anya also returns in this episode, and her trying to adjust to being human gives the show a character with even less tact than Cordelia. Mm-hmm. Harmony is also back, and her character really comes to life as a vampire, way more interesting than as a Cordette. She's even somewhat sympathetic when having to deal with Spike. A writer on one of those commentaries described him as the worst boyfriend ever. This was written by Jane Espenson, one of my favorite writers, but considering how much sex was in one episode, I'm surprised that Marty Noxon didn't write it. Finally, I was thrilled to see that Giles is a Velvet Underground fan. I have a fond memory of sneaking into one of their shows when I was too young to do so. Sit for my abacus.
Thank you, Bob. Bob.
Facebook group feedback?
Yeah, sure. What have people been saying there?
Welcome, Tim, to the group. I really love the crossover aspect of this episode. Definitely felt like the Buffy universe was expanding. Something that really had not been done since Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael David, the shows are just that much better with Spike. Not sure why it took so long for the writer's creator to get that.
He's so bad, he's good.
Uh-huh. Miranda Hollingsworth, I love The Harsh Light of Day. Spike just immediately makes everything funnier and more interesting. That fight scene between him and Buffy is awesome, one of my favorites in the series. What do you guys think of Harmony?
Harmony was awesome.
Isn't it just laugh-out-loud hilarious to see her and Spike together? I never thought I would ever feel sad for Harmony, but I kind of do when I watch this episode. I guess I'm supposed to, since she's so pathetic. And so not cut out to be a vampire. Can't wait for the podcast, and again, I love these episodes.
Cool. Thank you, everyone.
So how come Buffy's scar was so much it was like this gigantic sore on the side of her neck? It was pretty awful.
Mm-hmm.
And you think something like that, she might be a little self-conscious of it, she might cover it up, and it was like...
Like you could see
it. You see it across the street.
Yeah. Well, you know, the scars and tattoos and on the show is not very... They're never consistent, so...
Mm-hmm.
You just... That's a SOD.
Brennan Barrett, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did anyone think a little bit about Anya sort of taking the comic relief void that Cordelia's left?
A little.
Yeah, I felt that.
I mean, it's a really good fish out of water thing, and it works on a couple levels. The whole Xander being inexperienced, and she's basically, it's like she read a book or saw a movie and was like, this is what has to happen, and then it will be over. Yes, let's do this. And
she's kind of like Commander Data in that fashion. There was that one episode of TNG where like he tries to have a relationship with a woman and it goes horribly.
Yes, it does. I felt Harmony being there right from the get-go was super. I was happy to see her. I instantly knew she was going to be a vampire.
Really?
And because I saw her get bit. It was like, I thought she was dead, so she had to be a vampire. And I, you know, although just was spoiled seeing James Marsters' name in the credits, was, oh, he's got to be her boyfriend. And then I was like, really? Spike is really kind of... Really? That was... He's aiming low.
I'd like to see what their relationship before this, leading up to when she was bit to this episode. It probably was pretty funny.
It's so weird. It's so weird.
Yeah, because he doesn't seem like he would put up with the nagging girlfriend very much. No.
Well, and he doesn't, because he tries to kill her. I mean, yeah, I think that's Spike's whole thing, is that he...
uses people for what he can get out of them, and he does,
and he's, and like, you know, Drusilla was so dependent on him for so long, and he sort of became addicted to that, and so he wanted someone to like someone sort of beneath him that he could just like take care of.
Yeah,
and the thing with Harmony, you know, she comes from, you know, the Cordettes and everything, so she's very sort of like, you know, I want this, and I want to do this, and let's do this. And, you know, he just wanted her to just kind of, like, shut up and look pretty and
more demanding than needy.
Exactly, yeah.
She just wanted to go to France.
To go shopping. Forget about the museums.
They have museums there?
What? So, Illyria, did you like the Canadian content of this episode?
Remind me, please.
A little band called Biff Naked.
Oh, of course. Thank you. I kept wondering why Biff Naked was so in my mind, and then thank you. Yes, Canadian content. Very funny.
From Vancouver, BC. Mm-hmm.
Well, I thought it was fairly Canadian.
I thought it was I mean, I guess I just don't know much about, you know, bands performing at a college frat. I lived in a college town for a couple of years, and there was, like, you know, if you wanted to see a band play, like, you would go to a place that had a stage of some kind. But, like, you know, on Buffy, apparently it's like, yeah, some frat guys are having a party, and then, like, the band just plays in the living room, like, like, in perfect vicinity of everyone else, like, you know, it's like they don't set up a stage of any kind, and it's just like, oh.
Well, on Gilmore Girls,
related. No, go ahead. Continue, please. Go ahead and pull from Gilmore Girls as that being the source of reality.
Because I just don't think that's saying it's reality.
What, it's not?
That's just how I've seen on television, and
not
I just
all moms are that hot?
Or that quick-witted, that funny.
And no one speaks that fast.
Unless you're Jesse Eisenberg.
Biff Naked.
Yes.
I like that song.
Mm-hmm. I do.
So, okay. Parker taking advantage of Buffy is to season 4... like, Angela's taking advantage of Buffy in season 2.
Yes.
All right. So I've studied up on my BATs. Now, the idea that this is happening and Buffy is still reacting. I have a hard time with Buffy being weak. Mm-hmm. In one aspect of her life, when in the other aspect of her life, she has superhuman, supernatural strength. And I don't understand. It bothers me, really bothers me how she doesn't have the I'm going to beat you up reaction. Mm-hmm. Because that's what I want Buffy to do to someone who does that to her.
But she just wants to be loved.
Well, I know she has daddy issues in the whole
exactly.
thing.
Exactly.
Right? And yes. I understand that it's the whole...
Because something is wrong with me that caused my parents to get a divorce and for my father to not want to see me.
Isn't that true, though? Isn't that why parents get divorced? Because they have shitty kids?
Oh, yes, of course.
Okay, good. My God, I thought maybe TV was going to trick me into believing that it wasn't the kids. Sorry, go on.
No, but like she slept with two guys now, and they've both done the same thing. Is this sort of, is this also like the show's way of like teaching young girls who watch the show
not to sleep with boys? Yeah, it's propaganda.
Did I talk about this before? That Josh said that he wasn't making moral statements.
Yeah, like drink alcohol, get raped wasn't a moral statement.
No, it's just take Buffy and put her in a terrible place.
That wasn't a moral statement. That was a service announcement there.
Yeah, but she didn't sleep with Parker and make him evil. He was a douchebag user before.
Right, but Buffy didn't know that.
Buffy didn't know it. Well, no, because she's naive, I guess, you know, in the ways of that kind of thing. But the whole, how many girls did he do that to before Buffy? Presumably,
I hope they had protection, because I think Buffy's going to get a phone call one day.
Well, I mean, the other thing, too, is that Buffy, because of her experience with Angel and her experience with Parker, the common denominator in that is Buffy. So, of course, she's going to think that it's her fault.
She's
and of course,
it's
like
her, exactly.
Yeah,
but the common denominator is a penis. And maybe we're going about our theories all wrong, Gabby. Maybe Willow is not a lesbian. Maybe Buffy is a lesbian.
I think Buffy just has very awful taste in men.
This is true.
And zero self-esteem. And I think what bothered me, a couple of the comments that she made afterwards, there was the, did I do something wrong? Really? And then, will he take me back? Really? You want him back? Really? Why?
Girls think like this all the time. There are a lot of girls that I went to high school with, even university with, that had the same conversation. And they're like, what's wrong with me? I don't understand. It's like, what? Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with you. He hit it and quit it. Be done with it. Be done with it and move on and try to find somebody that's not a douchebag.
Yeah, I think I agree because I mean,
tell that to an 18-year-old girl.
It's unfortunate that it happened, and it's like, you know, I feel sad for Buffy, but at the same time, it's like, you know, only give that as much, like that's only going to have as much power as you allow it to have. Like, okay, just look at it. It's like, okay, well, clearly, this was not, you know, like this is not what happens now. We're like, you know, we sleep together, and now we're a couple. Just like, okay, that's not what he wants. Just move on. Just sort of like, you know, let that be a lesson. You know, don't give it up so easily. And move on from there, you know.
But I need to be quiet. Because people have explained this to me. And it's not like I'm stupid. I understand. It's on purpose that she's a complete idiot in her social life. And a total badass in the Slayer life. But it's wrong! It's wrong!
Wrong! Well, I think the problem, too, is that sometimes they lay it on a little thick. They do it with a sledgehammer. It's not very... there's not a lot of finesse in it.
No subtlety at all.
Yeah.
I mean, I love this episode. I thought it was great. But Buffy, come on! Kick him in the groin!
And it's interesting because there was I would imagine there was a time, you know, before, you know, a watcher came into her life and, you know, she started to grow and, you know, just learn how to, it's like having the knowledge of, you know, what is this? Like, it's like we learn Kung Fu so that we learn not to use it, you know? So it's like, maybe there was a point where she was getting in fights and like, you know, a guy would piss her off. And so she would, beat him up. And it's like she realizes, like, I have to be an adult about this and not just like hit something every time, you know, every time something doesn't go my way. Like,
I couldn't disagree more. I wanted her to kick his ass.
Of course you did.
Oh God. The second he walks, she was walking by, and he's standing there talking. Well, my father, I'm like, oh my God, you are a complete asshole! Oh my God, what did I do wrong?
Yeah, that was that kind of bothered me that Buffy didn't like bring that up. Be like, are you? Wait a minute,
your father's not dead, is he?
Wait a minute, you're using that for sympathy sex.
Sympathy sex.
Douche.
Bag.
Douche.
Bag.
Oh, no.
No? Never mind.
Please don't.
Moving right along. Oh, Anya.
Anya. That juice box scene was priceless.
It was.
I laughed out loud.
Amazing.
Nice use of prop.
Honestly, it's not romantic, sure, but I do wish that women were more straightforward and just came out and said, I like you, let's have sex. Yeah, it's like, okay. Wait,
they're not to you?
That doesn't always work. No, what?
I was trying to be funny. As though every single experience I've ever had, it's always been very straightforward.
Yes.
No. Yeah, it would be nice, wouldn't it? But it would also scare the crap out of me.
Yeah, I mean, if it happened all the time, yeah. But
yeah.
It's just funny it happens to Xander.
It would be, you know, Bewitched, Bothered, and Bewildered all over again.
Yes, it would.
So is this going to be like a running theme that we see now? Like when Xander has sex, it's sort of just like this cold, disconnected, comical thing. And when Buffy has it, the guy will leave her the next day.
I hope not.
It's happened twice.
Well, at least they're being gender equal about it. Where it's like, he's just, if anybody has sex, it's no good.
I don't know. Willow doesn't seem to be complaining.
But she's right. A witch.
Oh, that's true.
And she uses the magics.
And potentially gay.
That's right. We don't know what she's doing in college.
Potentially
yet.
Gay yet. Willow. Never mind. Willow got bit by a puppy.
Angry puppy.
Angry puppy, bad puppy. I keep forgetting that people don't know Buffy's a Slayer. So it kind of always takes me off guard when they have to cover stuff up. Because, you know, we're so used to it now and desensitized to her Slayerdom.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, even in the very first episode, you know, when they make that whole case about, you know, it's like, you can't tell people about your secret identity. It would put them in danger. I always look at it as like, why not? If everybody knows, there's no sort of, you can't. Yeah, exactly. Like, communication is key. Knowledge is power. Like, if everybody knows, then you can't use it against Buffy later, you know? So.
Well, didn't everybody know by the end of graduation, and that's why they gave her that umbrella?
Everybody in Sunnydale High School, yes.
True.
Apparently.
True.
So how big is Sunnydale that only those in the high school knew?
It keeps expanding.
It's a constantly growing town.
Yeah, as the show goes on, it seems to be this living, growing organism that's like, now we have docks, now we have more clubs, and now, you know.
We have castles.
We have beaches. And a university.
In season two, was
a zoo.
It
How can we forget the zoo?
In season two, was it the Orb of Thessala? Is that what it was called?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
They used that in Supernatural this week.
Yes!
The literal Orb of Thessala?
Yeah. It didn't look the same, but they used the same
the
name.
Word.
Really?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Did they? Oh.
Did it look like your mom's paperweight?
No.
No.
Aww.
It didn't look anything like it. I was disappointed. And I watched the one the week before with Cordelia and Spike. No. Oh, sorry.
I was just. It's like I knew about it, but I didn't want any spoilers to come out because I'm not there yet.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It was great.
Because Supernatural is like, I think there's a bunch of CW shows that are streaming on Hulu now, and then I think starting in like January, a bunch of them are going to be streaming on Netflix. So.
Oh.
Really excited
just
to catch up.
Speaking of which, I just got Breaking Bad on Netflix Canada.
Awesome.
Oh, that's
yes. Finally be able to watch and catch up.
So good.
Best great show ever.
Mm. So, I would like to nominate Xander into the Idiot Boy Hall of Fame.
Because what did he do this time?
Very similar. Well, very similar to when in Ghostbusters, you know, when a woman asks you if you will sleep with her, you say yes. And, you know, make her feel nice. And not just in that way. You hurt her feelings.
Aww.
That was not nice. I felt bad for Anya. I really like Anya. I think it's because I remember her more in my subconscious from 90210 when she was Brandon's girlfriend. And, yeah, so I guess I must have this latent, unconscious teenage boy crush on a TV character thing going on. But, no, it was nice to see her again. And I felt really bad when she was sad afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. So she wanted to have sex with him to get him out of her system.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. So after they had sex, what was the misunderstanding?
She, because when she said, like, so I'm over you, she was expecting him to, like, I guess, like, get upset. Like, for the sex to mean more. because she didn't actually have Xander out of her system. There was this whole thing, like, this was part of her plan.
I don't think so. I think she actually thought it would get out of her system.
Yeah, because she doesn't know how all this emotion stuff
Because when
worked,
it
right?
didn't, that's when she was like, it's not.
Well, fair enough, but I think the offense for her was when she said, you know, I'm over you, and he said, okay. And so she, like, she got upset by that.
Okay, because he didn't know how to act.
Right.
Because it was still more romantic than with Faith.
Thanks, Steph. Thanks a lot. I think you stole everyone's quote.
Nope. Not mine.
Not mine.
Not mine.
Oh, but that was funny, Dean. Add the fabric softener. but it's still, I'm sorry. I'll go on. Let's see.
Okay. Stop talking.
All right. So, there was a, what do you call it, where things are happening to music?
A musical montage?
A montage of Parker not calling and Spike drilling.
Yeah. yeah.
Can I just say that Harmony writing on Spike's back was
I thought that was adorable.
So hilarious.
Yeah.
What I really loved about it is how annoyed he was.
Mm-hmm. She even offers, you know, for him to do it to her. And he just doesn't take it. It's like, I would totally. He's like, okay. Look, it's not going to be very legible, but my hands will be shaking, I'll be sweating, but yeah, I'll totally do that for you.
I would just probably draw a giant kick me. on her back. Because it's Harmony and she's annoying.
Oh my God, I think she's adorable.
She just wants love.
She's annoying.
From Blondie Bear. Oh my God, she's awesome.
And she looks, I think she looks really good in the vampire makeup with those huge fangs.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
She looked a little different before. Like, she's had some work done since the end of last season to the beginning.
Well, Mercedes McNabb, yes, I have the issue of Playboy that she is in.
Oh, yikes.
Oh.
So, yes, she has.
What year was that? About this time?
No, it was later. That was like, it was after Charisma Carpenter, so it was probably like...
What?
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
Oh, I have some things to send you. It was,
don't bother. I have them right now. I have been on the internet since 1994, John.
Man. No, I have... I think it was like 2000... like 5 or 6 or 7. Somewhere in that range.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Giles has a TV.
Yeah, that was weird.
I love that Xander kept watching the TV as they were leaving. Like, he kept turning back to watch the TV. He couldn't pull himself away from it.
Yeah, no one turned it off.
I do think that was the most shocking revelation of all on the series thus far. In the magical ring. What the hell is that? That is not like the ring.
So is this why, Stephanie, every time we've been chatting about Vampire Diaries on this show, you say ring with such disdain?
No, well, yeah, they just handled this ring so much better. It's just a plot device. It's not like, I mean, I just... Vampire Diaries, it's just so easy to be a vampire.
On Buffy, we call that a phlebotinum.
Yes. Huh? It's harder to be a vampire in Buffy than it is on the Vampire Diaries.
Hmm. Well, yeah. That ring was pretty dumb. I was expecting like a big, heavy gold chain necklace.
I love Fleabag.
It'd be like the one that Spike thought was the gym.
Well, yeah, and it would only work if you wore a tracksuit.
Some white tennis sneakers, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a great reveal when he went to spike Harmony and nothing happened. Or stake Harmony, I should say. That was a great reveal.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty awesome. And the fight with Buffy was pretty awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Though especially he was such a dick. Yeah, because he was teasing her about Parker, and he brings it up, puts it in her mind that something is must be wrong with her because, you know, after one time, nobody wants her again.
He's so cruel.
Such a jerk. Oh,
what is she doing wrong?
Well, no.
She's not dating me. No, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so that fight was pretty cool. Although, can I just utter right now my... Okay, I've been SODing a lot in this episode, and I refuse to SOD. Busy college campus turns into ghost town as soon as a fight breaks out between the Slayer and a vampire. That was
maybe it's like in high school when a fight breaks out, everybody crowds around and cheers them on because they want to see the carnage. And in college, when a fight breaks out, everybody's like, oh, I don't want any part of this. I've got finals. Oh God, run away.
Yeah, maybe it was just really disappointing. I kept expecting to see a bystander, like, run at least, you know?
Yeah. And also, well, like I've been
Xander
saying,
showed
that
up.
The lighting is so much better that you can see the stunt doubles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a great fact, great choreography and everything.
The ring is the lamest thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
Makes you invincible, but can be easily removed from your hand.
Well, I guess you've been spoiled by the glove of Minigon.
but could you get the magic ring sized so that it was more difficult?
Harder to remove.
Yeah.
It does seem to be a one size fits all.
Could you get
how that works, but
get it in a necklace or like a pair of earrings.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, could you remove the stone, and can you have it put in a different piece of jewelry?
Like, make it a toe ring, and then we're like five pairs of socks and a big pair of boots. No one will even know where to find it.
Hey, why is that guy wearing ski boots in like the middle of summer? I don't know, but he looks pretty badass. I'd stay out of his way.
What if there was a hippie vampire, and it came off when he was kicking with his Birkenstocks?
Oh, you mean when he was playing hacky sack with his bare feet?
When it touches, like, oh, it's all stinky. Get it away.
It smells of patchouli.
Oh, God.
Oh, didn't, I don't know if you know about this, John, but Sarah Michelle Gellar, she really argued against the storyline that she didn't think Buffy would have, that she should have had sex right off the bat with Parker.
I could see that. Because, I mean, we're sort of arguing, you know, against it now. I mean, it's like, Buffy, what are you... Come on.
Yeah. Well, but Joss said that because in college, that's when people make mistakes. And just like Willow, her argument, you know, was like, it's okay, you're in college. This is the time you do things like this.
Mm-hmm. No, I get that. Like, you're sort of, like, away from your parents. You're out on your own. So you're going to kind of go a little nuts, you know, in regards to things that might have consequences. You're not really thinking. You're just like, ah, oh, you know, you kind of you know, uninhibited. You're just kind of wild and crazy. You're just, ah, I'm out on my own. Woo! Yeah, I can jump off this. It'll be fine.
So Oz is going to L.A.
How convenient.
Yeah, the Dingoes have a gig in L.A.
So wow.
Devin Shirt.
Good old half shirt.
Shorter.
Devin must have been wearing his girlfriend's clothes.
He got dressed really quickly.
He got dressed in the dark.
No, I think he just loves half shirts. Saw like one episode of Fat Albert, and there you go. Half shirts away.
He just watched a Wham video.
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe he watched A Nightmare on Elm Street and said, if it's good enough for Johnny Depp, it's good enough for me.
Yeah.
What did I see? I had something written down. I don't know why I wrote it.
Read it to us.
Over if your mother is coming to visit.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Because his excuse why he couldn't hang out with her the next morning was that his mom was coming over to visit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So that's why he invited this rando to sleep over. Come on.
Yeah. Well, I love that. I love that. Like later, the second time, like he just doesn't even. He just like, I'm supposed to hang out with some people.
So later. Yeah.
Here's what I don't get. Okay. If a guy has sex with a girl who is as attractive as Buffy is.
Go on.
Why would he not want to see her again? To have sex with her again?
Because she's too clingy, man.
Because he wants to have another one.
Exactly.
Yeah. He probably has a quota.
Yeah, and it's
there's probably a contest going on somewhere.
Uh-huh. Quantity, not quality.
All right.
I know a lot of people like that.
I'll bet you it's specifically freshmen.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to sleep with freshmen.
Mm-hmm. All of them.
Yes.
Because he's a douchebag.
Oh, boys.
So, Spike is defeated. Runs away. They decide that they're going to send the ring with Oz to L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the three lonely, sad ladies.
Walking in a triangle. I didn't like that ending.
Nope.
It was a little bit too much.
Yeah, I think the problem was that they were all sort of in a general vicinity, you know, in proximity of each other. Like, it's just, you know, it's a big place. Like, you can separate all of that.
Mm-hmm. But just the fact that they'd be outside walking alone going, oh, woe is me, you know? One could have been inside, one could have been sleeping.
Like I said, it's just, you don't have to have them all out there like lemmings. Just, where do? Where do I go?
So the moral of the story is the morning after ain't so pretty, right?
In the harsh light of day.
Oh my god, I just got that! It don't make so much sense now.
I'm right home.
The moral is, stay away from really large eyebrowed people. Anyway, I'm out of points.
Me too.
Me too.
Mm-hmm.
I got nothing.
Well, then let's rate this.
Let's rate it.
I will give it 8.5 out of 10 half shirts.
Damn it.
Wait, so how many shirts is that?
4 shirts. 4.5. 4.25 shirts.
4.25 shirts.
That's good math.
I really like this episode. I thought it was good. I'll also give it 8.5 bad scars on the neck out of 10.
As opposed to a good scar?
Yes.
Alright.
I love this episode. It was less monster of the week.
Yeah.
And more serialized, I suppose. And I give it 10 out of 10 platinum babies. So welcome to season 4. Season 4 is now going.
So this is where it really starts. Good times.
Yeah.
Yeah, I this episode is just a ton of fun. There, you know, all these great characters pop back up, and I actually like the Gem of Amara. I miss it, as, you know, as a mystical plot device.
I'm a bigger fan of Gem and the Holograms myself, but that's okay.
Well, she is truly outrageous.
Truly, truly outrageous.
Truly.
That's right. Testify. But I I will give this episode 9 out of 10 Krana apple juice boxes.
Oh my god, you took my scoring system.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. I have a backup. Everything but the very last scene with the wandering in a triangle, I loved. So I'm going to give it 9.5 out of 10 douchebags.
Don't want that.
Did you include adding a point because they were in the bronze?
Oh, shit. Well, then I gotta give it a 10.
Yay!
Yay!
Right. Well, that's what we thought about this episode. You should let us know what you think about Buffy. You can call us at 270-40-BUFFY. You can also send us an email at
potentialcast@gmail.com.
Why not follow us on Twitter? twitter.com/potentialcast. You can also join our Facebook group if you book the face, and that is facebook.com/groups/potentialcast. We have almost 260 members.
Yay!
Which is pretty awesome. Tons of fun stuff going on there. Send us emails. We'll get as many of them on the show as we can without making the show 90% feedback. What else? People can just, you know, send us an email with a voicemail attachment, or you can call us, or you can... make sure you keep stuff spoiler-free, so put a spoiler warning in the subject line if you are emailing us about an episode we have not yet recorded about. So, that is it for what we thought. I think it may now be time for quotes.
Oh, so you let Parker take a poke, eh?
Nice.
I love syphilis more than you.
Thanks, Tim.
Damn it.
Thanks a lot.
Damn it.
Oh, do it again. It tickles, you know, in a good way.
Listen to me, you stupid bit. This gem is everything. I came back to Sunnydale Fort, a place which has witnessed some truly spectacular kickings of my ass.
Oh, that was one of mine. It's okay, I have a backup. Isn't it fantastic day? Birds singing, squirrels making lots of rotten little squirrels, sun beaming down in a nice non-fatal way. It's very exciting. Can't wait to see if I freckle.
Awesome.
Nice. Is that it?
Yeah, I only grabbed a couple.
Everybody went.
Yeah.
I do have the rest of Illyrio's, which is... Now, when I have the gem, they all die. Don't worry. But until then, stay inside. And by the way, I would be insanely happy if from this point on, I heard bugger all about solving France!
He was so mean to her.
Yeah.
Oh, oh well.
Oh, yep. Well?
Oh, well.
Oh, well. Well. She'll be back to have her revenge, right? Right?
I don't know. Oh, really? I was hoping to just be a one-off with her.
Really? You don't want to see her come back?
Not really.
I like when they bring back old characters.
Yeah.
And, show.
And it's fun when you don't, you know, they're gone for so long that you've forgotten about them, and then they pop back.
Yes.
Up.
Gone, she'd be gone so long, she'd been gone so long.
I told you to stop that.
Too bad. So, what are we going to be watching for next time, Stephanie?
In 2 weeks. I don't know what's
next. Fear itself! Fear itself!
Fear itself! Daggummit! Halloween. We nice. Missed it.
Halloween?
What?
Oh. Episode.
So I completely traumatized the 3-year-old who came to the door.
Oh, what'd you do?
Well, I don't know if you saw on my Twitter stream or my Instagram the latex mask I got with the giant top hat.
No.
And like the braided... like Fu Manchu and giant skull face. Anyway, I wore that for the first batch of kids, and there was a little 3-year-old in a tiger costume who completely flipped out. Oh man, I felt bad, but it was so awesome all at the same time.
I love it.
I'm sure the kid will be fine.
Your witches sorry, look boy. Great.
I'm sorry, little boy. Hold still.
Oh, well. Well, that's it for another jam-packed episode of Potential Cast. Our guest this time has been John Pavlich. John, tell our listeners who you are and where they can listen to you apart from your guest appearances here.
I appreciate the lone applause. That was You can hear me lots of different places. I am on my flagship podcast, Sofa Dogs.
Sofa Dogs.
I'm sorry?
Isn't that the theme? Sofa Dogs.
No, actually. If you would listen to the podcast, I have a legitimate theme song.
I know you have a theme song. I was trying to be funny.
Stop it. I'm
going to go walk in a triangle now. Outside.
What did I do wrong?
Look, Illyrio, we've got to do a podcast with some other people later. So.
Classic. So that's it? One podcast?
Well, yeah, okay.
Come on, pip it out, man. Let's go.
Yeah, also, Movie Night at Geek Show. I occasionally guest on other podcasts like this one. And I'm potentially starting another podcast wherein a friend and I review episodes of The Wonder Years.
Nice.
Oh, I'll have to listen to that one.
Have you listened to any Ramjack where they are watching Mr. Belvedere?
You mean Belvedere?
Mr. Belvedere?
No, I haven't. I am aware of it.
That's awesome.
I can only imagine.
Thanks again for joining us, John. We truly appreciate it, and we hope you've had a good time.
I'm so happy to be here.
Folks, again, thanks, and bye!
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 Bye-bye!
Bye!
Later!
See ya!
So I'm doing a search in my iTunes for a song with the word douche in it.
And you can't?
And there's no douche songs.
I was hoping you'd ask me to play. I was hoping you'd look at me that way. You got that hat I like. It fits you just right. Now you wonder why I don't stay. 'Cause I wanna make she's had too much gin. Oh, you were open, I'd fill in. Well, that sounds tempting, but I gotta go. I begin to realize that I wanna make